When things get hard and you don't think you can take it anymore, I'm Emmy, the birth wizard. And she's Alex.
And I'm Alex. Sorry. I was just thinking about how now you have to do that theme song music every single time.
Every time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. I'm going to write down the notes now to remind you to breathe. We're here to talk about uncomfortable topics and to get you through those surges and open up. This week is all about balancing while you're supporting clients. So
balancing normal life and being an on-call doula.
Dude, yeah. So I did not realize how much this topic seeped into last week's topic until we reached about yesterday. And I was like, oh my God, like there's so much seepage. However, they are different, right? Yeah. There's a difference between boundaries and balancing. Because we're talking essentially this week about the logistics of doing it, whereas last week was more about, like, in general, how do you make sure to take care of yourself and hold true? So
hold space for yourself,
right?
And right. others, yeah,
right. And this
was so how do you actually balance the actual, like, job? Like, yeah,
I think the number one thing people typically ask. Whether they're a potential client or someone who's going to become a doula or a birth worker of any sort is how many clients do you take on a month?
Yes.
And that's a part of the balancing questions. Mm-hmm. Childcare, if you're someone who has a child or children. And then, you know, we've kind of touched upon this before. A lot of people identify as mothers and they're probably working other gigs if that's a part of their prerogative, or even they have like major stuff going on in their life outside of doula work. Yeah. There's very few of us who come into doula work and that's all we're doing. So let's kick it off really, really simple. How many clients do you take a month, or at least what is your ideal to take a month?
Yeah. My ideal, probably four. No four. More than that. Yeah.
That's
three to
that's
four still, would be my ideal. Yeah.
That's still quite a bit.
If we're talking about ideal, it's like two. And then I get to teach lots of childbirth classes in interim.
Gotcha. So. See, I think that's a part of that, like, talk of balance is the fact that you're going to be and are teaching childbirth classes. So that completely changes your balance.
Yeah.
How it looks like.
And even doing like the math of like my ideal amount of money that I want to make includes for either of those options.
Got it. So how often are you hoping to teach classes? Is it like once a month, every 6 weeks, or?
I'm hoping to, my series is 4 weeks. So I'm hoping that I can do like a series every month with a couple families is like, this is my dream situation. I just launched those classes, but yeah, that's where I am.
Manifesting.
That's my goal. Yeah.
We're manifesting. To have
a few families every month in my class.
I mean, just to plug you right now, because we know that other birth workers are watching you. What do you teach?
Yeah. I just created a 4-week comprehensive childbirth education class with a focus on the third trimester of pregnancy, labor and birth. The fourth trimester and then newborn care.
That's pretty cool.
I'm really excited about it. I just finished a training from Birthing Advocacy, which was an awesome training. Highly recommended. I'll plug them for a second.
Right.
It was a really great, and it made me a better doula as well. So I thought it was a really great class to take. And I just launched those. They're on my website. That's like my next thing I'm trying to focus on.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And I love them as an organization. I got the opportunity to take their first run of their queer and trans fertility class. Blew my mind. Like every week blew my mind. It was major heart work to get through it. And I know so much more now.
It was major heart work to get through this child. And I'm glad that it was there, but I was kind of surprised. I wasn't like expecting that. I guess.
I cried every week, at least once, at least once during class. And then I would like try and unpack during the night, because I tried to like journal about what I learned about and like try and like digest the information more, and I would end up crying again.
Oh no.
yeah. So awesome organization. And it's so cool that you're going on that venture, and what a great way for us to dive into this about talking about balance, right? Like that's going to be you balancing education, which is schedulable. And your other gig is not schedulable.
Yeah.
To a point, right? It's all random.
So let's talk about how many clients you take.
So mine's a little different because I have a partner, but our ideal is no more than six, which essentially ends up being three each. However, typically we get four a month. And we prefer it that way. We would rather more squishy room than being overloaded. For example, this month for myself, because also what's going on is my doula partner is also a birth assist for a couple local midwives. So that's on her schedule. And then I was doing backup work and then taking on clients of myself because of the situation that these clients were in, needing a vaccinated doula. So between the two of us, we had eight births. And we're almost done with it. We got two left. Which is funny
because it's literally the 17th. That you knocked so many out in the early, the earlier part of the month. And you know, four is my dream. I want to do this like full time. I want this to be like an income. But I haven't had a lot of like ability to even try that and see if that's reasonable, because it very well could not be, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And the thing that I've figured out over time and why I'm cool with less and less clients and charging more is it's really tough on my body. I have a condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Essentially the ligaments in my body are extra loosey-goosey. So you can imagine during like a hip squeeze, how a shoulder popping out is probably not the greatest. So I figured out the busier months, I'm in a lot more pain, flare-ups happen, which makes me a worse doula. So that's a big part of my balancing, is listening to my body and being like, so if you come from a month where you only had one birth, it's okay to take on an extra two, but realize that it's going to take you another month to recover from that. And that's just talking like just on my body and what it can do with the balancing. The other factor that I keep in mind for my balancing with how many clients I have is that I have a husband who works a full-time gig, and it's more than a full-time gig. Typically he's working 60 to 70 hours a week. He's a software engineer. He makes good money, which is part of the reason I have a sugar daddy. And I go to the bank of sugar daddy to help out birth wizard sometimes. So it's great. However, it means that there's a lot less leeway for my home and the balance that is here, because there is, even though he works from home, there is not that person who can be like, no worries, I'll cook dinner. Right. Typically working until 8. He takes an hour off to put the kids to bed, and then he works until about 1 a.m. and then he's up again at 9 to go back to work.
So he's working all the time.
So that's our life. So I really keep in mind that balance, and like the people that I take on as clients, and what is the workload going to look like, and how much of an impact will I make on them. So if I kind of what we talked about the second week of like connecting with clients and how do I vet them and all of those things has to be there.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to waste my time, like I could have been home cooking my kids dinner.
Yeah.
You're okay.
By the way, we're on Zoom because I'm under the weather.
Yeah. So make sure you guys subscribe to us on Twitch so we can get her to urgent care. I'm just kidding.
Stop. I'm all right. I'm not dying. It's okay.
Subscribe now to Twitch to be able to send Alex flowers. She is dying. So,
but I was going to make, I was going to make a joke about how I thought I was marrying a sugar daddy because I got with my husband when he was in school to become an engineer. Oh. And now he's a freelance graphic designer.
He tricked you. He tricked you. That's not cool.
So I don't think totally I've, flipped I've, on that one.
Right. I don't think I've told you the story. And if I have, you, I'm sure no one else has heard it that's listening. My husband and I's very first date, I was 18 and I thought I was hot as shit because I was 18.
And I'm way hotter now than I was at 18. Just saying. I'm just getting better as time goes on.
Oh, like a fine wine. Yeah. Me, not so much. I'm starting to get a little squidgy around the edges. But I, on our first date, I looked at him, I'm like, you seem like a real nice guy, but my dream is to have fake boobs and an SUV and my hardest decision to be where we go on vacation. So if you're not down for that, right? And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, totally. We could do that. I totally was taken aback because so many guys, like I mostly said it as a joke.
Yeah.
To like on several first dates. Because I thought
it was like your line. Yeah.
Right. Like I thought it was the most ridiculous thing that could be said. And my husband was like, yeah, if that's what you want, like
sure,
let's make it happen. By the way, we were broke as a joke. Like we were splitting like a McDonald's meal that night. Like, yeah. I mean,
yeah, my husband and I's first Valentine's was at Steak and Shake.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It was great. It was great. But now 11 years later, he's really like come through on that. And he likes to remind me like, see, I told you.
I told you I was going to make this happen.
Shut up. You had no idea. Shut up.
But so my husband having that kind of job really gave me the ability to go for this full time. I was a server for a long time, 8-9 years. I was in the food industry. And I was doing it for a while I was working on my certification. And after I'd finished my certifying births, I realized how stressful it is to be doing a stressful job and then have to be checking your phone all the time because someone's about to go into fucking labor. And I told that story last week. I had left like a Thursday or Friday night work shift, and literally as soon as I got home, got called that, oh, I'm at the birth center, you know? And, you know, that was a short birth. That was like my shortest. It was like my two-hour birth. It was like insane. But it was like, that was kind of like my wake up call. Like at the time I was serving, I have my kid, I am working on the doula stuff, I'm on call now. And I was also, I create websites for my husband's graphic design business. So I was also learning how to build websites. So I was just like, I can't hold all of these things and then being a parent and being a partner and hold all these things in my mind and do any of them well. And so, you know, I kind of kick serving to the curb, but I can focus on this because there's someone always here. And if, you know, we don't have like a lot of support here, so there wouldn't really be a lot of people that we could rely on when we needed to have someone watch our son. So it's kind of like kismet. It was supposed to happen that he was supposed to lose his job and this stuff, because it's allowed me to like really dive into birth work.
It's so cool. And it's so neat that you guys have that perspective, because I think, because I saw your guys' post of it being almost a year of this, or a little over a year. And it's incredible how much you guys have done in a year and how much you guys have grown. So that's so cool. That's just so cool.
And I also would like to say that it also sucks like a whole lot. Some people are like, oh my God, you're doing so great. And I'm like, we're like still like doing a little dance every month we can pay rent. So it's like, you know, we have an apartment still. Like that's really it. But it's also like, these are the things that we really want to do and that we think will make us happy and, you know, fulfill us in that way. So.
Right. For sure. And there's a lot to be proud of, even if there is that dance, right?
Yeah. Because
you were still able to pay rent. You were still able to cover your costs. Like,
yeah,
fuck yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. With myself and balance, the major one is my kids. Yeah. I have three kids. They're all under, they're five and under. So 5, 4, and 2. So that becomes extremely difficult. It was about 4 months into birth work that I ended up needing someone to come in and help me, which I was mm-hmm. a stay-at-home parent before. And that was a really tough call to make. Yeah. To like have to call a nanny agency, because I had no one to even be like, can you watch the kid? Like, no one in my life could do it. So yeah. I had to hire out, and it's really rough being quoted that. It's really rough. Essentially,
you're like, this is how much money I have to make.
Oh, not only is that how much money I have to make, but I have to show up in that kind of intensity. Right. And it was only 10 hours a week I was getting help. Like, that is nothing, nothing. When you're trying to build a business. Nothing. Yeah. And it was $100 a week.
9 hours, because yeah. my kid's in school for 12, but we spend an hour every day driving him to and from school.
Oh my God.
But we get 9 hours. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's you know, you and I actually met at this place. I ended up utilizing a lot this place called Modern Aloe, which, like, give them a major shout out. Like, they're a big reason why my business is off the ground in the way that it is, because I was yeah. able to drop my kids in the play area and be like, just stay there, like, for a minute while I do some stuff.
For one second, I need to not right. think about my children.
Yeah, and then also not sleeping has, like... Yeah. brought around that. But like, I've had to shift the idea of what is balancing my life versus what am I willing to dedicate time to and also mm-hmm. lose to yeah. be able to. So it's not as like cute as like when you see the Libra, like just holding both
and trying to
like,
balance.
Look. Right.
Are you like, a Libra?
No, I feel more like that scene from, this is like a major deep cut, sorry guys, like that scene from Roseanne where she's like figuring out how to pay bills and she's literally just like throwing away certain bills and being like, whoops, yeah. guess we never sent that check. And like, yeah. that's how balancing doula work for me is, like, where I'm like, whoops, I guess like we forgot about karate tonight, so I yeah. can like take this consult call and like this is not happening anymore because I can do this. And like, no worries, the kids get McDonald's for the third time this week because I'm zonked. Like,
yeah,
the toys
and are and that's like, it's like, is it, where do we need balance? Like, can you find balance? I don't feel like we could find balance when I was doing stuff before. You know, yeah. serving is a hard job. I would, you know, work a crazy weekend and then come home and need 2 days of sleep anyways to recover.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't the one drinking. I was only working. So it's kind of like, can you find it? Should you find it? Like, at what point do you, like you said, do you like kind of let go of some things, you know, let go of being like that perfect parent, let go of being that perfect partner, you know?
Yeah. I think, a lot of this has been letting go, which is so funny because that's my number one advice to clients. And I've had to get really comfortable with the idea and how crappy it is to be told, like, you just have to let go. And it's like, oh, fuck you. Like,
you got to deal with yourself. Tell yourself to let it go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just like Elsa, I have to let it go. And I have, yes. in particular, I had to let go of this idea that, that I didn't have to educate the people around me of what I'm doing and why it's important. That's been the biggest thing.
What do you mean by that?
So when I first started, the number one thing I heard was like how weird my brand was, and
like makes me roll my eyes so hard because literally you become a local celebrity and everybody knows Emmy's in the Facebook groups, huzzah, and it's like the cutest thing ever. And I just want to fight anybody who's like, this is a terrible brand.
Yeah, I got told it was a terrible brand because it was too masculine. I got told it was a terrible brand because you know, like, the mainly masculinity, femininity wasn't enough, and that birth work isn't going to pay me enough to be able to sustain. And so there's been a bit of a chip on my shoulder of like, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to make this work just to like have my moment.
Just to say, screw you guys.
But because of that, like drive, more balance has been thrown out the window. Like more willingness to give up sleep, more willingness to like give up time or money or making steps faster just so I can like make my footprint even bigger. Which is,
and I would say it seems like you've done a really good job of that. Like,
oh, thank you.
I think that it seems like you've been doing this a lot longer than you have.
Right.
You know, and maybe that's why people are so like, what's the secret? Right. Emmy, tell me the secret.
The secret is that you give up the idea of sleep, and you, when you're in this work, I've told so many birthers, like, this is the moment to find that fire in your belly. And I swear that's all entrepreneurial work.
Oh my God, yes. Because there's so much unpaid, unseen work in all entrepreneurship, but in doula work too. Yeah, there's so much unpaid work before you get your client, your first client.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that's a huge part of this is like every entrepreneur, whether it's birth work or graphic design or whatever it may be, you know, you're not going to get the pay immediately. And you know, you're kind of stepping out into something that could be scary or where you might lose money or sleep or whatever it may be. And you're willing to throw that balance out the window, like put in blood, sweat, and tears, quite literally at times, just to make it work because it's the thing you love. So the question I have to you is there a thing that you've been able to keep on your priority list or in your balance the best of all the things you juggle?
I think that parenting has been that one thing. The reason why I did the job I did before was that I could be with my kid. Like, that's all I wanted. I didn't care if I had to work like in bars for the rest of my life, if I could be with my kid. And that's kind of been this balance for me, is that my kid gets to see me every day. And, you know, I had military parents, I had a military mom, you know, she went back to work 6 weeks after having me, you know, she was deployed for a year when I was like a year and a half. And that put an impact on me that like, if I have my kid, I want to spend time with him. And you know, that has been like the biggest thing, is I can still do what I want with my kid and find time to do like the trainings or the education or the, you know, the other work in off times, you know? And then when I do get called out, you know, then I don't feel bad for being gone, you know? And I don't think that people should feel bad, but that was just something that was important to me when I had my kid. And I just wanted to make sure that I had that ability. And that's something I feel that I've still held on to, you know, and I think that that will still kind of come back and forth, you know, as things get busier or less busy. Because I had said something about like, you know, postpartum work or childbirth education classes. And I was kind of like, do I want to be out of the house more? Like, I thought about that a little bit. And it's just like, it's interesting how like the on-call, you know, leave at a moment's notice for a day or two, I'm okay with. But like the thought of like a 5-hour postpartum shift, I'm like, maybe not.
Because I think with on-call life, you're rolling a dice. Because like you said, it could be just 2 hours. It could be.
I would bet so much money that I never have that short of a birth ever again, just because it was like my second birth, you know.
I've attended 3 like that.
Yeah.
One was a couple weeks ago. It was last week. It was a car baby. Very exciting. But I was there for 4 hours. And that was with me taking postpartum pictures.
Yeah.
Because that's what was required. But it feels more like there could be a chance. I'm home in time. Yeah. versus like a postpartum shift or childbirth education course or whatever kind of education that you're doing. For a while, I did postpartum belly binding, yeah. Where it's that scheduled, and I know I'm going to be gone. So I know there's no chance of me getting home early or like quickly. I know I'm going to be gone during that time. So,
and that was always my dislike of like a 9-to-5 type job, was I was like, people do this every day. They stay for the same amount of time every single day.
Right.
I would rather chance that I'm in this restaurant for 18 hours today than be told that I have to be here from 9 to 5 every day.
That's so funny. I think that
doesn't make any fucking sense when you think about it, but you know, that's kind of how my brain works.
And it's funny because I'm sure there's plenty of postpartum doulas out there who are like, you guys are crazy. It is great that I go in for this time and then I'm there to be for my kids and like I can schedule it and my life is good. And I wonder if it speaks to maybe your nice situation of we don't have a ton of family to depend on or don't have those systems set like immediately set up for us. So we would much rather roll the dice and hope instead of have to build a village and have to like scrape and grind in order to do it. Like I know it is for me. Like I don't want to go through that turmoil of like vetting people in order to hopefully see something that looks like balance.
It's hard. It's hard to bring people in your life that way too.
Yeah, exactly, because you're intentionally bringing them in for service. Shit, I just realized what stressing our clients go through.
I feel like you set that one up on purpose.
I swear I did not.
That seems like very on purpose that you just said
that. I just realized what our clients go through of like, that's why they're so nervous with us. Got it. Yeah. See, that's what empathy does though. Like I would have reached that if I had just said it out loud and just kept rolling by. So
And you're like spot on. They're vetting us to bring in paid support. Yeah.
Right.
Mic drop. Come on.
Right. There we go. We did it. Fabulous. Flip of the week. Like, done. I can go home now.
We can end the episode. See you later.
Oh my gosh.
So do you feel like you've been able to retain anything as far as finding balance, or have you thrown that out the window and said like, screw it, I'm just going to go all in?
So I have an all or nothing personality as it is.
Yeah.
My dad used to say that I was essentially a stubborn donkey, you know, I could get you halfway up the mountain. And then after that point, I'm not moving anymore. Yeah. So, I've been throwing balance out the window. And I've redefined it as what is a priority of the week instead of me trying to keep things as like 20% like across the board as possible. Yeah. One human, and I think it was more gentle on my soul to be like, this week the house is going to be a mess and this week the dishes aren't going to get done and my laundry is not going to get done, and also I'm going to attend 3 births.
Yeah.
So this is the thing I'm choosing to give up in order to do this thing, but ultimately next week I will focus on all those things that I missed out on the week prior. And I feel overall, if I pull way back, there is balance.
Yeah.
However, if I judge myself in the moment, there is no balance.
You don't.
It is chaos. Yeah. It is like, if someone were to walk into my house right now, they would be like, whoa, everything okay with you guys?
So first of all, anybody with 3 children has a life full of chaos. Like it's not just because you have another job.
Right. For sure.
You know,
And I remember the comment I used to get and still get when people see me with my kids, especially when they were very tiny, is like, oh my God, you have your hands full. And I'm like, life's not fun unless
stop saying that to people.
Right? Sorry. Are you gonna pick up one of my kids and help me? No? Then shut the fuck up. So the nice way of telling them to shut the fuck up was me saying back, like, yeah, life is more fun when it's chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I've just embraced that into this next stage of me starting this business and all of that. Like, it's more fun if we have chaos going on. It's going to be okay because it's not going to always be like this. And that's something I try and remind myself. The way my business is now is not how it was 6 months ago. And it's not how it was a year ago. And it's not how it was a year and a half ago when I first started. Like, it's just not. And the way it's, like, developed, it's always going to be
changing. Yeah,
exactly. And right now I feel a pretty good job of balance and making sure that I'm pulling back in certain areas. So one of the things I have done is pulled back on commenting on every post on Facebook groups and all of that because I don't have the brain space for it anymore.
Yeah.
One day I'll hire a person to impersonate me and be in those groups. But
one day for now, I'll be good at social media too. So. Or I'll hire whoever you find to do
sweet, mine. Sweet. Perfect. By the way, if you want to be my social media manager, go ahead and reach out.
Applications to Ring of Fire Podcast at
Right,
Gmail.
Exactly. Beautiful, right? Because I low-key do this one with you. So yeah, it would be really nice if we could do that. But yeah,
I forgot that this wasn't your email. Sorry.
You're trying to get one for the podcast. Like, hey, come on, social media managers.
Please somebody send us an email. I want to open it and see an email. Say hi to me, please.
We will pay you in clout.
You know, our Instagram page is coming up. Just saying.
It is.
Doing good.
It is.
But,
it,
you know.
Look, man, we got a whole 6 likes on our last post. I'm impressed by us. With very little. We're doing a lot.
We're doing good. Okay, but sorry. Back to your story. What you were saying.
What I was saying is I've allowed certain, like, minute tests or even ideas that of things that I wanted to get done immediately and spread out the timeline some and made sure that I understand that I am one human. And as much as I love Mark Rubin, I think that's his name. Shoot, I'm going to sound so dumb if I quote him incorrectly. But what he talks it? About Mark Rubin.
Ooh, from that, what?
That doesn't feel right.
Are you saying Mark Cuban? Are you talking about the guy from Shark Tank? Okay. That's what I thought.
Oh my God, guys, my brain ready to hear this connection. A Cuban and a Reuben are both sandwiches. Mark Cuban says that unless you're willing to give 110% to your business, you should not be doing it.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that I keep in mind is as much as I'm willing to give 110 to this business and the stream and all of that, that does not mean that 110% comes every single day. And that it is a much bigger picture. So it all rounds about to the same. I'm attaining balance by pulling out and realizing how much that I'm doing instead of trying to get it all done in one day or even 1 week or one birth. Like, I'm not going to be able to build a business off of, like, getting the perfect birth every time or the perfect week every time.
Yeah. So and that's such a high expectation. And that kind of goes back to what you're talking about. You know, about letting go and of certain things. And, you know, I consistently have to let go of, like, the expectations that, like, I have on myself to be like a mom or a partner, or, you know, like, I feel those creeping in at times, because I always make the joke about how I tell people that I don't cook and people are like, what? Not like, what? Or they'll be like, oh, what do you pack your kid for lunch? I'm like,
nothing.
I don't pack lunches.
No.
My husband does that because he's awesome, right? But it's just like people are shocked that that's not something that I do. And it's mostly because I'm not good at it. My husband doesn't want, like, dry chicken. Like, his family actually taught him to cook and he's great, a great cook. But it's just a funny thing because those expectations that are set on people who are on women, you know,
yes,
they're high, you know,
they're super high.
It's hard to not put that on yourself. Like, oh, well, maybe I should learn to cook. I don't have time to fucking learn to cook. Like, but no. I learned how to build a website. I learned how to be a doula and a childbirth education educator.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. I'm, you know, it's like, there's lots of other things that can bring value. And like that, letting go of that was a big thing for me. And I found this TikTok account called Domestic Blisters.
Oh, PC I adore Davis her. Is
amazing. And they just talk about like removing shame from care tasks because there's so much shame wrapped up in them. And
I adore love it.
Yes. And
I adore it.
That was a big like wake up call for me. Like, oh, I'm not a bad person if I don't clean the house, right? If I don't, you know, like if I don't like read my kid and the 20th story of the day, like, you know, if there's dishes in the sink, if there's, you know, and even as someone who really tries to not like get stuck on those things, it's hard not to, you know.
Her saying it's morally neutral,
yes,
to be fat. It is morally neutral to have dishes in your sink. It is morally neutral to not eat all of the fruit in your fridge before it goes bad. Like all of those things, like she said it and it like hit that place in my soul where I was like, like, thanks, just like,
mom, thank you right, so much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that is such a thing, and how much shame is wrapped up in it. And I think for me in particular, like I have ADHD, so doing any of this is a lot at times.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I ended up reaching that like letting go phase, because I was like, well, it's not possible, so why do you think you're gonna do it now, right? Like you added an extra 10 things onto your plate, so just be cool with it. Like, just be cool
with it. Wasn't happening before, why would it happen all of a sudden? Yeah,
nope. So just be happy with it. And one of the things my husband and I talked about pre to any of this, it was when I was pregnant with our second. Our first two are 17 months apart. So my first was 9 months when I was like, that beginning stage of pregnancy that sucks, where like you're tired all the time, your boobs hurt, the whole nine yards. Yeah. Well, a thing with pregnancy is ADHD symptoms get worse.
Oh, that's interesting. And
so I ended up having the conversation with him of like, look, I don't have the ability to keep this house at the standards you want. I think it's time for us to pull in that extra help. Yeah. And I have to let go of this idea that I could keep up with a kid and then an impending another kid without someone coming through and like making sure that our floors aren't sticky. Right. Yeah. Like I need that help. So I think it's interesting that we ended up on the topic through balance about letting go of shame.
Yeah.
And letting go of this idea of perfection. And honestly, it's like my greatest goal is for anyone who ever encounters me as like, oh my God, you do so much, for them to truly hear me when I say, it just looks that way.
Yeah.
I'm on a struggle bus too. Like, I really want people to hear that though, so that way they know, like, this is all facade, man. Like, I'm glad that you see how much work I'm putting into this, but this is all like facade. I haven't slept in like a week and a half. Like, don't congratulate me on this. This is still not healthy. Like,
we'll get there one day.
Yeah. You guys can help us get there by subscribing to us on Twitch. So we can start to monetize this.
Yes, please.
We just need 50. Guys, we're so close.
Starting point. I think we have 50 followers on Instagram.
Well, there you go. Come on, guys. It's free. Yeah. So that's what I can say to this. I do think so much of it is wrapped up in that. And I do think it shouldn't be missed
that typically in birth work, not only are individuals who are drawn to birth work are AFAB and identify as she, her, but also we're usually interacting with people who are AFAB and identify as she, her. So this is going to be a topic all the way across, and we're going to be talking about it, even if we're not talking about it, right?
Like, yeah, it all ties into each other,
right? Because
the expectations that are placed on us. Yeah,
talking to a client where she's like, I've been throwing up a lot and I can't keep up with the house, and it's like, then go to bed. No, I can't do that. Don't you have a way to help me like keep up? Nope, because I'm not a medical professional, first of all, and second of all, I'm here to tell you it's okay if you go to bed and like eat the animal fries only for the next 3 months. Because
but how do you talk over the patriarchy and like the lifelong experience of being told the opposite, you know? Even the experience of going to the OB and being like, what are you eating? Are you making sure to eat enough protein with every... No. I could eat buttered noodles or crackers my first trimester. Right. No, I don't care how much protein is in buttered noodles. Probably none. Yeah. This is the only thing I can eat. So please let me have
this. Yeah. And I think it's... because I could quickly see you and I devolving into this topic, but like, no, for sure not. Like, don't be sorry, because I think it's still a part of this, like, talking about what things we do to take care of ourselves is a part of that balancing act, and what is seen as morally neutral or good for you is so important to talk about, because like I mentioned it 3 times, I'm not kidding. I don't sleep much. That's in quotation marks, not okay. I should be sleeping more. I should be taking better care of myself, because I could be a better doula if I slept more. But what does giving up sleep do for me? It allows me to build this a lot faster.
Yeah. And maybe jumpstart it a little bit more so that you can do less later or take care of yourself later in that sense.
Right. But even in that sense of you talking about the buttered noodles, right? Why am I doing this? Because I need to eat.
Yeah.
And no, it's not the best choices out of all of these, but it's the one that I'm choosing to make because it's going to fulfill me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The benefit outweighs that.
Right. So I'm choosing to outweigh the balance, right? I'm choosing to get rid of balance in order to fulfill my heart.
I love how our episode on finding balance is to say, fuck it. You don't find it, and you're not going to find it. And it's really fucking hard. And everybody comes into birth work because they probably have children. A lot of people have children that come into birth work, not everybody, but they have maybe these traumatic experiences. And that typically lends into like people getting interested in the work, which means that you have a child to take care of while you're doing this work.
Right.
And it's just a lot, you know? And I love that it was like, you're not going to find it. Sorry. I'm sorry if you thought we were going to give you answers.
If you do, please write Alex an email at bringafirepodcast@gmail.com.
I will respond. I will read it at the next episode.
Read it on the next episode.
Please we will talk read it. To me.
Right. Because real talk, I don't think it exists. I don't think it exists. I think it's a fantasy. I think it's a fantasy that there's any sort of balance in any aspect of life. It wouldn't matter if you did birth work or if you were a plumber. It does pick a thing. There's no balance.
Stay-at-home parents struggle with that balance, you know, anybody. Yeah. Just because you do a more flexible type of work or an on-call work doesn't make it makes it harder to balance all of that stuff, because then you have to even think about the balance in your brain of balancing being on call, or you're doing like, I'm brushing my teeth and I get a text message with a question. Mm-hmm. Well, guess I gotta go look something up. Like, you know, like right. that's what being available, you know, as soon as you're hired or at 36 weeks or whatever, all the time means, you know, constantly having to say, okay, I'm going to shift my brain from parenting or cleaning or whatever to placentas or baby's position or this can OB's an asshole. Take can we Mucinex find another one? Yeah.
During like, pregnancy?
Yeah.
I should Google that.
Is it normal that breast milk is chunky? I can't remember. Like, you know, like I've had those moments before. So it's like,
wait. It's blue. Give me a sec.
Let me make sure. Which they could have Googled too. I'm just saying the amount of times I've Googled something just to like double check my knowledge is really funny because they could have Googled the same thing. I'm glad I'm there for them, but it is funny to me every time.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
And it's like how long breast milk can be left out is a Googleable. Is that a word? Googleable. It is a Googleable. It was a Googleable, like, you know, thing.
I like it. It's now a part of our vernacular here. I'm going to put it into our lexicon. Everything love is it. Googleable. But yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. Understanding that you're taking on a life of servitude, because like we can go back to the original definition of doula, which is a servant to woman. Yeah. And I won't even go further with that, which is slave to woman, right?
Yeah.
So that's a part of it. And yeah. I think if you go into doula work and you think for a moment that you're going to find balance, then you didn't read the definition well enough. You read the quiet part and only the quiet part, right? Like that's all you got from it. Because when I read it, I read slave. I read like, I'm going to be in this. And
I don't read it that extreme.
I do.
But I do view it as like you're in service to other people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And when you feel like that's your like calling or that's what you're supposed to do, you know, there's always going to be sacrifices to be made. There's always going to be things to be thrown out the window if you're choosing to do something that cares for people, you know, because it, you know, that's what midwives and doctors and obstetricians sign up for, the same thing, you know,
exactly,
be on call to be in service to people, you know.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in the room, especially with there's certain teams in the valley where I've heard the midwife be like, yeah, I've been up for 24 hours, like people just keep having babies right now, and I know they're falling asleep in some broom closet for like 30 minutes. Yes. And then it's time to catch a baby again, right? Like, so they're going through it too. And you can see that dedication.
Yeah.
And it's either, it doesn't matter what setting they're in, they all have that dedication and that want and that need. So,
major shout out to I was going to say something, but I got distracted. I was looking at you.
I'm so pretty. distracted.
Sorry. I got very distracted. I don't know. Okay.
It's gone.
Dead air. Sorry, guys. It left the building.
With Elvis. Yeah. I'm going to ask the final question.
Let's hear it.
So that way we can move on through. If there is one element of your life that you will say gets thrown out the window first, which one is it?
It's the one that shouldn't. It's caring for myself, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
That's the first one to go, and it shouldn't be. And I've got to figure out, everybody needs to figure out how to not do that. But it's so easy to do that, because then I can say, well, I'm the only person that's losing out. Right.
Yeah.
So my kid's not losing out. My husband's not losing out. My, you know, like all this, my clients aren't losing out. It's just me, you know, but we've talked about that and we know that that's not the case, you know, and I have been at births where I forget to eat or I don't have the opportunity or, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's always the first thing that goes, you know, and it's hard. Again, I think that that's part of like, the, like, I don't know if that's part of like being raised as a woman, like, you know, to like always sacrifice yourself, to always put yourself to the side. Like the whole like self-care movement came from people who were parents not caring for themselves, you know? And so that's always the first thing that goes out the window. And that's always the thing that has the most, the largest, you know, impact, you know? And coming into this work has been tough for me because I spent a lot of time balancing my life. I was kind of like a chaos goblin, you know, like for like my whole life. I was just chasing like, you know, adrenaline rush after adrenaline rush or, you know, dopamine, whatever. But that was something I always did. I always ran until I burnt out. I always worked 30 hours in 3 days. I always, you know, like, or 40 hours in 3 days. Sorry. I always made my rent in a weekend. Like I always like did like stupid stuff. I always stayed up too late or, you know, I got in the airplane still drunk from the night before, like stupid stuff like that. And it kind of clicked one day that like, that's why you feel like shit. Like that's why you're on this roller coaster of mania and depression because you are just chasing chaos. So I spent a lot of time bringing my life and my mind into balance. And now you throw things in there like, oh, I have to be awake for 24 hours or even every time I'm at a birth and it's overnight and the sun comes up, I'm like, this feels familiar, you know? So it's kind of like, I'm like, ooh, this feels where I'm supposed to be.
It's funny. I think self-care is a thing for me too, but I completely reject what self-care movement has turned into.
Oh yeah.
Because often it's related to, are you getting facials? Are you getting massages? Are your nails done? Like, I think it's so fascinating that it changed from how your priority should be yourself first, which is growth and making sure that you're fulfilled and your heart's not depleted, to does your skin look good?
Yeah, like it became marketable self-care.
Right.
Because originally it was like, oh, these people who take care for their children all day aren't getting a chance to shower or eat or, like you said, care about themselves for 1 minute. Like, but now it's like, oh, but we can sell you self-care if it's packaged into, you know, the facial, the skincare routine, the whatever. Right.
So I always encourage people when they're talking about self-care, like, and they're like, oh my God, I spend too much time on my phone. That could be a form of self-care, guys. Like zoning out to like watch a YouTube video or like just scroll on Instagram can be a form of self-care.
Yeah.
Like space cadetting can be a form of self-care because you need that to shut down for a while so that way the rest of the brain can recoup. So I will say self-care is a really big thing for me. And it is one of the first that goes out the window. And mine is in that more tangible way where it's like, shit, it's been 3 days since I've showered.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right. I have to interact with people. Oh no. Like, that whole line from Bo Burnham, like, I look like a bag of shit. Like, leave and be like, oh, whoop. I have to go back inside. Like, my literally, guys, right now my pants are inside out, like, because I was like, I gotta get on this thing. I can't wear PJ pants because I'll feel weird, so I put on a pair of pants and I looked down just now and they're inside out. I mean,
no one knows if I'm wearing pants right now.
That is true, but I made a conscious effort to try and make myself feel good and I still fucked it up. Like, but self-care is completely the thing for me that goes straight out the window. But at the same point, when a task gets done or I attend that birth, that high is so big that it feels like a form of self-care.
Yeah.
Right. So a thing that happened this week are the books that are going to be a part of the education courses that I developed are finished and I have them in my hands and I'm able to be like, oh my God, I did that. Like I'm technically a self-published author at this point. And I'm like, this feels like the same kind of high I would get more than likely if I actually did the structured self-care, right? Like, yeah. If like I did the things and didn't show up to my dentist and he's like, when was the last time you flossed? And I'm like, oh, flossing, right? That's a thing I should be doing. Like,
And do you feel like some of that is, this is a little bit off it, but do you feel like some of that is like ADHD or being neurodivergent?
Oh, completely. Completely. Yeah. Neurodivergence colors everything in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize how many people in their lives are neurodivergent, or maybe they are themselves. But so much of what you guys see is neurodivergency in Birth Wizard, in Emmy.
Well, I think in Birth Work.
Yeah. You know,
because do this type of job to be a something.
There's no way you could get a neurotypical to stay up for as many hours as we do, to give as much as we do, to be cool with the highs that we do, and then go home and edit a bunch of photos and hyper-focus. Yeah. Like, there's no way.
Or go home and like be a person.
Right. I've always thought of neurodivergence as, or people who are neurodivergent as, we were the protectors in the village. We're hyper vigilant. We're hyper focused. We're really great at care tasks and taking care of others. We're really great at noticing things. We were created to help take care of the village. So my job is to stand on the outskirts and notice the shaking bush, because the neurotypicals wouldn't. I'm here to protect you.
Yeah.
So
you're so cute. Everything leads back to Emmy's brand. She's
right.
Right. Everything.
It's so bad. But yeah, so much of me is neurodivergency. And I was fortunate enough to get my diagnoses very young, and I come from a very neurodiverse family. So I came to terms with it at a very young age, and it colors everything. And maybe that's also the reason why I'm okay with the sense of no balance in my life.
Yeah.
Because there's no way I could balance my life like a neurotypical. There's no way I could set up my life like a neurotypical and make it and, like, look good.
Be all right with it. Yeah.
Nope. That would kill me. And I don't mean that facetiously, but it would kill my soul. Like, I wouldn't be the same person. You would not see the color in my life.
Yeah. Maybe that's why neurotypical people can be so boring. Just saying. Sorry, I just had to say it. Okay.
No, listen, I like this. I like that this podcast is turning into let's bully neurotypical.
Let's bully neurotypicals, please.
Right. NTs, you're empty. And your face looks funny. I do think that's a huge part of it. And I do believe I have yet to meet a birth worker who is neurotypical. I've yet to meet one. And a lot of them just don't realize they aren't neurotypical yet.
Yeah. Like, I think it does really attract a certain type of person. And I feel that like literally every doula I've met so far has been like a certain type of person and a certain type of, like, of course everybody has their different styles and things like that, but I haven't met someone that like wasn't meant to do it. Like, you can feel like they radiate that, you know? And I feel that that is the big part that makes people say like, fuck it, I'm not going to worry about balance. I'm going to go all into this, you know? And like, you know, when we went out to dinner the other night, we ended up talking about birth the entire time, which is what is so funny, that like, is that balance, you know, like, you know, or is that like, would people be talking shit if like you were like a car salesman and you talked about cars all night, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's something that very, like, it kind of takes over your life a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm so pre to birth work, my husband, like I said, does software engineering, and all of those guys pretty much, because it's mostly men, are on the autistic spectrum somewhere. They land somewhere on there. So I'm very used to info dumping. I'm very used to like hyper focusing and being like really fascinated by a topic. So I absolutely love being a part of this community where it's like, dope, we're eating ice cream and we're talking about placentas right now. This is my place.
See, like, these are my people. I love it. I'm obsessed with it.
Obviously, right now is the time to talk about the crazy forceps birth we witnessed while I'm eating my steak. Of course, that's what we're doing at this dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it's not about that, it's something to do in that realm, and we're exploring the topic even deeper and making sure to share that information across.
I love it. I was just, it's just an interesting thought about it. Like, it really seems like balance is the wrong thing to be chasing, because you're probably not going to find it, you know, like that's really what it, you know, that's the conclusion.
I think so.
We found it. That and that neurotypicals are boring.
Honestly, I feel like we should do a whole episode on just like, on just that being neurodiverse in birth work. And like, I want to see if there's like any sort of studies or like any sort of information, because it's been a fascinating point for me of trying to figure out ways to help neuro divergence with birth and how to make it more friendly to them, because there's elements that aren't friendly.
We need to poll our audience.
I think that's a great idea. All 56 of them, and you guys should join Twitch. So
we have 53 Instagram followers, I think.
It's happening, guys. Right.
But okay, thank you for joining us. I am Alex Barr,
and I'm Emmy, the birth wizard.
We are Ring of Fire Podcast on all platforms, including Instagram. If you want to follow us on Twitch if you're listening to this on YouTube or anywhere else. And I think that's it.
Yeah. See you next week.
What are we talking about next week?
I think it's about certifying births, if they're necessary or not.
Should certifying births be necessary or not? So send us an email. We would love to know what you have to say.
Yes, please.
Bye.